Translation: O my dear king, Hiranyakashipu was always drunk on strong-smelling wines and liquors, and therefore his copper eyes were always rolling. Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed great austerities in mystic yoga, although he was abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, personally worshipped him to please him by bringing him various presentations with their own hands. Purport: In Skanda Purana, there is this description: Upayana dadu salve vina devan Hiranyaka. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that everyone but the three principal demigods, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, engaged in his service. Madhvacharya says, Aditya Vasavo Rudrastri Vida Hi Sura Yataha. There are three kinds of demigods: the Adityas, the Vasus, and the Rudras. Beneath whom are the other demigods, like the Maruts and Sandhyas. Marutas Chaiva Vishve Sandhya Chaiva Chatat Gataha. Therefore, all the demigods are called three Pishpata. And the same word three applies to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. Oh, thus end the purport unexpectedly. It's not a short purport. So here we are hearing about the glories of Hiranyakashipu. These, of course, are not the spiritual glories. Material glories are called Brihatrava in Bhagavatam. Brihatrava means great activities in the material world. So here, going back to the verse, it explains how Hiranyakashipu was always drunk on strong-smelling wines and liquors, and therefore his copper eyes were always rolling. Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed great austerities in mystic yoga, although he was abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu personally worshipped him to please him by bringing him various presentations with their own hands. It's very, very amazing how he became so powerful that the demigods, they used to worship him. Now, how did he get to that point of being supremely powerful? Here in the verse, there are certain points to note. One is, in this verse, Uru Gandina. Uru Gandina means strong smelling wines, referring to wines that Hiranyakashipu was taking. Uru also means great. Uru Grama. Grama means step, like in relation to Vamanadev is called Trivikrama, which comes from Uru Grama. Why? Because he took great steps and deceived Bali Maharaj. So here the same word Uru also appears in relationship with Hiranyakashipu, who took great steps towards drinking and enjoying himself. Uru Gandina, strong smelling wines. And another point here in this verse is Tapa austerities. So because of his performing austerities for many years, he became very strong, bala, bodily strength. He gained bodily strength from mystic powers. From performing austerities, he gained strength, mystic powers and bodily strength. He became very powerful. Ajasam and power of the senses. He was very powerful. So when we look into also Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto explains that there are 18 mystic perfections in total, but there are 8 primary ones. Amongst the 8, there are 3 by which one can transform his body or her body in a case of Putana. Like Putana, she was a demoness flying up in the skies. When she came closer to Vrindavan, she landed, and on landing, she transformed herself to a very beautiful lady in order to deceive Mother Yasoda and other ladies who were taking care of Krishna. You know the story. So, this is some of the, this is due to having these mystic perfections. One of them is called anima. Anima is the mystic perfection where by which one is able to make himself smaller than anything smaller, than the smallest. And then the second one is called Mahima. This is the mystic perfection by which a yogi is able to make himself greater than the greatest. And Lagima, one can make himself very light. So Hiranyakashipu, by his austerities, he had also acquired these perfections. Another one is Prapti Siddhi. Through Prapti Siddhi, a yogi is able to acquire anything. He is able to extend his hand and touch the moon while sitting on this planet. That's Prapti. And also through this mystic perfection, a yogi can enter into all the living beings' senses and control them. So this is why here these demigods became the servants of Hiranyakashipu. Because through his mystic powers, he was able to control their senses. It's like sometimes people refer to us as being brainwashed. You've been brainwashed by these Hare Krishnas. It means you have become like a zombie. You do not have the power to think for yourselves. These people are controlling you. In old days, of course, nowadays people are familiar with us. I remember when I first joined, some people were telling me, you've been brainwashed. These people are controlling you. They have some magic by which they are manipulating you. You're just an innocent boy. So these manipulations come from Prapti Siddhi. So Hiranyakashipu had acquired all these siddhis. Therefore, he was using them to control the demigods and control many other people. That's why he was surprised when Prahlad Maharaj was unafraid in front of him. He asked him, by whose power you are fearless in front of me? By the blinking of my eyes, all the demigods ran into different directions. Prahlad was just a small boy. And Prahlad, what did he say? He told him that the very same power by which you are controlling everybody, or the source of the, of all your powers is the same source as mine. I have gained powers from the same source. Who is that source? Lord Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu, of course, he did not appreciate that truth. But it's true. He challenged Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, he said, you, such a rascal. You think yourself more expert in controlling the senses than myself. Huh? He was very annoyed. Yes, but Prahlad was just giving him facts. So here, we can see how having gained these mystic perfections, he was able to control many, many demigods, what to speak of human beings. Because he was able to enter their senses and make them think and feel the way he wanted. If he wanted you to think and feel that Hiranyakashipu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you just automatically thought so and served him with awe and reverence. Such is the power of mystic perfections. Yes. So this is the power of Hiranyakashipu. But the Lord is known as Trivikrama, just as Hiranyakashipu here is referred to as Uru Gandina, because he was enjoying strong smelling wines. So in Sanskrit, enjoyment is called Visha. We have Kalpa, Vriksha. This material is said to be Visha Vriksha, the tree of poison. Vishaya, like Narottam Das Thakur sings, Vishaya Charya. That when I will stop sense gratification, or when my inclinations towards enjoyment will cease, then I will take shelter of Vrindavan. He's praying in this way. So Vishaya, sense enjoyments, comes from Visha, which means poison. So this material word is Visha Vriksha, the tree of poison. Why? Because the material world provides only sense gratification, and sense gratification is said to be poisonous because it destroys all the spiritual faculties and make the living entity obsolete. He loses his natural identity and he begins to identify with that which is not. And then he becomes Uru Gandina, the enjoyer of strongly smelling wines. Yeah, it's very, very nice. Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very nice. Yes, he becomes great, Brihatrava, and his activities becomes great in the material world. So this is explained also in the 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 20, text number 18. It explains that in the beginning, Lord Brahma created from his shadow five types of coverings of the conditioned souls. That's Dhamishra, under Dhamishra, Tamas, Moha, Mahamoha. Tamas refers to the type of ignorance which Prabhupada, of course, in that purport says anger. This is tamas, anger. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that the living entity who is trying to enjoy this material world becomes subjugated to this anger. Why is that? Because he's just trying to enjoy like the Supreme Personality of Godhead would do. This is the greatest fallacy. And then Prabhupada explains in the same purport that Andatam Mishra refers to the misconception that we live now and after death there is no life. Therefore, we should acquire more facilities for enjoyment. We should enjoy now. This was also the philosophy of the Epicurean philosopher who was named Shalvakamuni. Shalvakamuni used to preach, or he wrote, at least in his books, that this life is temporal. And when we die, there is no other life. Better we make a good use of this life. How? He says, beg or borrow or steal. But you must eat delicacies cooked in ghee. Yes. Because when you die, this body is cremated. And then you can never experience enjoyment with it. So, steal if you can. If you cannot borrow, if you're shy of borrowing, go and steal. But you must enjoy foodstuffs fried in ghee. This is Epicurean philosophy. That this material world is to be enjoyed. So these personalities like Hiranyakashipu also, they were Epicurean in their own way. So this is how he believed. So he went to the forest and performed many austerities and acquired many mystic powers, but the goal was Visha Vriksha, to enjoy the poisonous tree of material world. This material world is poisonous because the more one tries to enjoy it, is the more he loses his spiritual identity. Yes. So Hiranyakashipu also is in that category. So then Prabhupada explains the next covering of the living entity is called tamas. Tamishra under tamishra, tamas. Tamas means ignorance. This is the ignorance of not knowing that one is the spirit soul, or lack of that knowledge about Atma is called tamas. And this tamas leads to moha, illusion of thinking that this body and bodily enjoyment is all in all, which leads to the fifth stage, maha moha. This is my land, this is my country, these are my people, I am the king here. So like that. So these are type of different levels of conditioning for the conditioned souls created by Lord Brahma. And then the scripture explains that there are two things that are important, which comes from our samskara's past experiences. That's ruchi and vasana. Vasana means inclinations, and ruchi means taste. So each and every living entity's fate is determined by his ruchi or and vasana, inclinations and taste. We can see now the taste of Hiranyakashipu here. He is called Urugandina. He had a great taste for strong wines. So you can tell by vasana and taste, inclinations and taste. So here, what we can learn here is what are the characteristics of materialist, or in this case, demons like Hiranyakashipu. So here, it's clearly explained. Uru Gandina, he had strong taste for strong wines. He wanted the best of all the wines. So this is due to his inclinations and taste that he had acquired in his past life. This is Vanasankara, unwanted population. So in the material world, most of the people that are living now, they are of this category. They have these inclinations of wine, whiskey, and so many other things that are poisonous, following the examples of Hiranyakashipu. So there are so many people now who have this taste of strong smelling substances. So this taste has to be diminished by the linking process of devotional service. How is that? Prabhupada explains in one of his books, it's called The Path of Perfection. There, chapter 5 is entitled Steadiness in Devotional Service. There, Prabhupada explains that in order to advance in Krishna consciousness, one has to come to this realization that I am Krishna's. I belong to Krishna. I do not belong to this nation or this ism, but I belong to Krishna. And then from that point, Prabhupada says, one can make spiritual advancement. Why? As long as one thinks that he is this body, he belongs to any bodily designation, he will never seriously surrender to Krishna. This is the difference. That surrender to Krishna does not take place in the hearts and minds of those who are tightly attached to material world and the enjoyment that the material world provides. So these are the points we can learn from this verse. That is why Hiranyakashipu is referred to as Urugandina, one who had inclinations towards strong smelling wines. How can he smell the lotus feet of Krishna? It's not possible. He can't have a smell of Tulasi Mahalan. Because his sense smell they have such a different taste. And you see that. It's like when we went to school as kids. I don't know in America and in Europe, but the schools I went to, they had corporal punishment. Before we went to school, myself and some of my friends, we used to see many kids coming from school. And then we concluded that school was a place for fun. Otherwise, how could so many kids flock to that place? There must be some fun there. So we used to stand outside our homes and watch as the kids were coming from school. They were happy, dressed in their uniforms, said that these guys are having fun. We couldn't wait until we got our turn to go to school. So then when we reached age 7, and then we were also enrolled, and then, you know, the first day, which is the day of orientation, our mothers took us to school, we were registered, and then second day, third day, reality began to set in. We realized the school was not just a place for kids to play and have fun. We got put into classes, and we were told, kids, don't make noise here. Because on the first day, when we got to the classes, we just took out our shirts and we wanted to chat, we wanted to play just as we would do in our homes. And then the teachers, with their sticks in hand, say, hey, kids, get on the rails. This is not your house, this is school. Listen to me. I'm teaching here. We were quite surprised. We never had such experience. We thought life was about playing. So then, after school, when we went home, before we went home, we had a meeting. And then we, in that meeting, we resolved that we should not come back to this place. Stay at home. This is not a place for kids. We are kids. We're supposed to have fun. They have sticks, and they are telling us to sit down and listen. You know. So then we went home. We told our mothers, we don't want to go back to that place called the school because the teachers are so harsh on us. They have sticks. We are not allowed to play or have fun. They said, no, kids, you are going back. And then, unwillingly, we complied with the instructions. And then later on we realized, actually the school is a place of discipline. It's a place where people are formed. Of course, there is a period for playing called recess. But it's just a short period. There is more time given to studying and getting serious. And then we applied ourselves, and then later on we graduated from primary school. We went to secondary school, and then we went to TCL and got our degrees, etc. And then we felt that going to school was worth. But initially, due to ignorance, so that is ignorant. So everything gets covered. And then we see material world in terms of our enjoyment. But this material world also is a school of hard knocks. And the headmaster here is Durga Devi. She is in charge here. But unfortunately, in this school of Durga Devi, the students learn too late. Some do not learn at all. So for those who do not want to cooperate with her, she corrects them. Adiyatmika, adideitmika. Misery is caused by the devas. The misery is caused by other living entities. She inflicts upon them so many disturbances, tsunamis, earthquakes, bad weather, floods. Yes. But for those who cooperate with her in this school, they can live happily here and also attain liberation. Saha yagya prajastridva puruvacha prajapati anena prasavasvishadvam Esharo Astu Ishtakamaduk. Bhagavad Gita explains that in the beginning, the Lord of all creatures sent forth the generations of man and gave them Yagya, Saha Yagya Prajajitva, and said that, I'm blessing you by giving you this Yagya because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and attainment of liberation. So for those who do not understand this principle of appeasing high authority, Durga Devi is got a rod of punishment. Just as when we went to school as kids, we thought that the school was a place of fun. And then the teachers had to get us on the rails by giving us punishment. But this punishment was meant to correct us, yes, in those days. So the material world is a school of hard knocks. So Hiranyakashipu here, he's like a mischievous student who want to be in this school of hard knocks without appeasing high authority. As we will see how he will be corrected by Lord Nishimadev. Yes. So this is the points that we can learn from these chapters. That no one is exempted from the Lord's authority in the material world. Prabhupada gave an example also in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is in relationship with Ravana in the story of Ram. Prabhupada explains that Ram recruited monkey soldiers for his war with Ravana. And these monkeys were not equipped with modern weapons, whereas Ravana's army had all modern sophisticated weapons. And Prabhupada explains why they were able to easily destroy Ravana's army. He explains that there are two types of strength. One is Purushakara, which means the strength that man organizes through his intelligence and power. And Daiva is the strength that one can attain from transcendence. And Prabhupada explains that in comparison, Daiva, or the strength, the spiritual strength, is more than material strength. And Prabhupada, he explains that even though material world is difficult, we just have to depend on Krishna and carry on fighting Maya in that purport, but leave the results to Krishna. Just as Krishna advised Arjuna, he says, what? Anusmaram, that think of me and continue fighting. Yes. So Prabhupada explains also that even though material world is difficult, we are like in a constant war with the material energy, but we should always depend on Krishna and carry on fighting. It is true. Our mind also is like that. It's like it flitters from one angle to the other angle. But if we carry on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then it comes back. Just by taking shelter of Krishna, we are able to calm and steady mind and bring it back under control. There is no other way. And Prabhupada explains that at all times we just have to take shelter of Krishna, because Krishna is the source of the spiritual strength or daiva. So here we can see, as it's going to be apparent, that with all these mystic perfections, Hiranyakashipu could not even move Prahlad, who was just a small boy. He couldn't even convince him that studying demoniac ideas and sciences was the goal of life. He tried to impress upon him that he was of a greater lineage of greater demons, but Prahlad Maharaj was not interested. Why? Because you inside, within the heart, he was chanting the names of the Lord and meditating on the Lord, even though he was surrounded by so many demons. So Prabhupada gives that example that if we just carry on our services despite the difficulties caused by demons in the material world and keep on thinking about Krishna, eventually we will come out victorious. So this is one of the points that we can learn from this story of Hiranyakashipu and Sri Prahlad. Shri Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question?